And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, March 15th, 2016, 12:14, coming up on 12:15 Eastern Standard Time. And it is our Super Tuesday here in Ohio and really around the United States today, as four big states will vote today: North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, and Illinois. The Republican and Democratic sides, very interesting races here. And this is going to be a fun hour on the Now program. Scott Spears along with you. Momentarily, we're going to be joined by the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. But before we do that, we're going to head to Washington and talk to our state senator, Sherrod Brown. Senator Brown, how are you?
Good. Good to be with you. Thank you. Sorry for the delay. I was in the banking committee and couldn't get out, but glad to be with you. Thanks.
Always good to speak with you. Let's get right into it. Let's see. Hillary versus Bernie here in Ohio. Bernie kind of shocked everybody last week when he won Michigan. Does he have any chance of taking Ohio?
Well, these are close races. They're a long slog for the candidates and a longer slog for everybody watching. But I expect Hillary wins Ohio. First of all, she's the most qualified person to run for president in my lifetime. I mean, you look at her background, and that's important, especially because she spent her life fighting for working families, and particularly children and families, things like the Healthy Families Act and all that she's trying to do for children's health care, to empower women as Secretary of State in the developing world, what she did. And I think that, you know, I trust Hillary to continue that fight for families. I trust Hillary on trade and manufacturing. She's the only one with a real plan to begin to bring Ohio back in manufacturing. I grew up in a city just like Marion. We used to play basketball in Marion Harding, Mansfield, and the old Buckeye Conference. And what's happened to Mansfield has happened to Marion, with lost manufacturing jobs. And Hillary understands that and wants to do something about it.
Oddly enough, Senator Bernie Sanders, the oldest man running right now at 74 years old, seems to be capturing the younger vote. Is there any way for Secretary Clinton to get that? That's been a problem.
Well, yeah, it has been. I mean, you could say that Sanders has a problem with middle age and older voters. I mean, you could look at it either way. But yeah, I mean, Bernie, even though he's not young, he's new to people, and it's kind of not that he's not a substantive, decent man. He is. He's my friend. I work with him. We came to the Senate on the same day. We sit next to each other in two committees over time in the Senate, so I know him well. I like him, but I think he's kind of new, and Hillary's been around a long time, and she's been attacked. When she left the Secretary of State's office, she had the best ratings anybody ever had, I believe, as Secretary of State. And then the attack started because Republicans really knew that she would be a tough candidate for president, and the hearings and the accusations and all that. She's used to that. She's tough, but it has brought her favorables down, and so I think that people are looking at, some young people especially, looking at Bernie as something new that appealed to their idealism, and I get that. I mean, we were all that age once.
If Secretary Clinton is able to win Ohio, Florida, North Carolina, and Illinois today, is essentially the campaign of Bernie Sanders over?
Yeah, I think it's not over, because he's raised enough money, mostly in small contributions to his credit online, much of it, to stay in the race up until the convention, which I think he'll do, and use his delegates to be able to have more influence on the Democratic platform. I think that's what he'll do. But it's effectively over if she runs the table today. If she wins even 4 out of 5 of these states, she will get a lot more delegates, and she's pretty much, nobody's ever inevitable in politics, but she's pretty close to that, barring something really unusual. So Bernie needs to win a majority of these states tonight to have any chance at the nomination. I don't think he will.
How much has Bernie Sanders changed her positions?
Well, I don't think he's changed her positions. I think he's changed her emphasis on issues. I've been talking to her for months and months, well before Bernie was making any impact in this race, when it looked like she was more or less going to be uncontested. And I was talked to her about building a manufacturing strategy and what she needs to do to take on Wall Street, what she needs to do on changing trade policy. And I trust her on these things, in part because I've seen her up close working on these issues. So I don't think, as I said, Bernie didn't change her positions as much as he changed her emphasis on what she's talking about in this campaign. But I think he's made her a better candidate, because we all benefit, even though we'd rather not have competition, we benefit from it.
On the other side, just a second to talk over on the Republican side, our governor, Governor Kasich, last time I heard, has a 70% approval rating in Ohio. He's running neck and neck with Donald Trump. Who's going to carry Ohio tonight?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it's close. I assume Kasich probably will win. He's the governor, but I also find it curious that John Kasich has lost, I think, all 23 primaries he's been in, or 22, or whatever it is, caucuses and primaries. He's lost. He's not won any one of them. Yet, if he wins today, his home state, they're considering him a major contender. And I guess I listen to these political pundits. They all have opinions. But, you know, Governor Kasich doesn't have many delegates, even if he wins Ohio, and he's far into fourth place that way. And so I don't know how he possibly gets the nomination in Cleveland coming up, but I also know, and you know, he's been, I guess I hope he comes back to the state and starts governing. I mean, he really hadn't been here much since July, and the media loves John Kasich. They always have. The people that own the newspapers usually love Republican governors, and he's gotten very little criticism for being out of the state the last 8 months. While our economy is doing worse than Michigan, our job growth is weaker than Michigan and Indiana and Kentucky, in spite of what we hear in campaign talk. But there's a lot of work to do in this state. The Sebring water, poisoning of the water there with lead, the state didn't do anything about. And, you know, the state needs to focus on the charter school scandal and all these problems that Ohio has that nobody's paying attention to because the governor's running for president. So I'm just hopeful he comes back to the state, realizes that this race is not his to win at this point when you're so far behind, even if he wins Ohio, and comes back and does the work we need.
That being said, at this point, if Donald Trump tonight carries North Carolina, Florida, and Ohio, and Illinois, is he the Republican nominee?
Yeah, I think he's the Republican nominee, even if he falls so much short of that. I mean, he's running against the senator from Florida in his home state. That's pretty hard. He's running against the sitting governor of Ohio. That's pretty hard. Yet he's going to almost certainly win Florida, everybody's saying. He has a chance in Ohio, and then Missouri, Missouri, North Carolina, and Illinois, apparently Trump looks good. So I don't think Donald Trump's fit to be president. I think he's appealed to people's fear and appealed to race and religion. And I think he's, if not just condoned, even incited violence in some of these cases. And I just don't think he's fit to be president. So I don't wish him any ill will personally, but I don't wish him any wish him well in these campaigns at all.
Final question on the primary today. If Donald Trump is the nominee and Secretary Clinton is the nominee, something strange that has happened is the Republican debate last week was watched by 12 million people. Both Democratic debates watched by 6 million people. More people are turning out to vote Republican in the primaries all across the state. People are changing from Democrat-Republican when they went and voted in the primary today. We're hearing all across Florida and Ohio. Does this give you pause that this could be a Donald Trump presidency in the fall?
No, it really doesn't, because he's still getting, Hillary Clinton has gotten more votes than Donald Trump has got in these primaries. Start with that. Second, Trump's negatives are very, very high. He is getting a few Democrats who are appealing to him, or he's appealed to, or crossing over. It's not huge numbers, but it's not insignificant either. And he will get a lot of votes, but I think that he has offended so many people, and he continues to. And I think the coarseness and the way he talks and the swearing and all that, it's just that he's really not in so many ways fit to be president. I just don't think it's much of a race if he's the nominee. I think he will make it interesting. People are watching those debates because he's so colorful and interesting. He is fun to watch. I watch his speeches a lot of times, but I still cringe because I just find what he's done and said in appealing to fear, and he's so talked down our country that everything's a disaster. Our country's still a great country, and Donald Trump can say it's a bad place as much as he wants and it's a disaster, but it's not, and he's wrong about that.
Why is he winning? Why does he have popularity?
Well, talk to people that are voting for him. He's still not getting, you know, Hillary Clinton's got more votes than he has. These are small turnout, relatively small turnout primaries. Once 120 million or however many people vote in the country in the end, something around that number, he will not have nearly anything close to a majority of them in the end, I don't think.
Senator Brown, I know you have a bill you want to talk about, very important to you.
Yeah, the Healthy Families Act. It's important because we're the only country in the world, the only rich country in the world that doesn't have family leave policy. So if you're a single parent and your child gets sick and you don't have family leave in your employment, your child gets sick, you either send your child to school sick, and whatever all that means, or you stay home with your child and you don't get paid for work that day. And you know, or if you're sick yourself, you go to work and infect others who might, particularly in some kinds of jobs, you work closely with people, you might make us sick, or do you stay home and not get paid? And there's virtually every country in the world, any rich economic, any rich democracy like ours, has family leave policies in place so that people get 3 or 4 days off for sick leave if they are sick with a doctor's excuse, whatever, and that's the way it should be.
Very interesting. Before I let you go, Senator Brown, and I thank you for your time, The Hill reported today that a possible Clinton-Brown ticket could be, and NBC's Chuck Todd has suggested this. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow has floated around the idea. So I guess, Senator Brown, if asked, will you serve?
I have no interest. I really don't. I love what I'm doing here. I'm very flattered by that. I appreciate anybody thinking that. But I really don't want to be vice president. I want to continue to fight for middle class in Marion and Mansfield and all over this state.
So no chance, as you
all... No interest.
No chance at all. Okay. Hey, well, that's a Sherman. Thank you, Senator Sherrod Brown. We thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. And we're going to switch gears here now. Well, Terry, that was a firm, he's not going to do it.
Yeah,
if asked, will not serve. Not see Sherrod Brown. And we're also joined in studio by the mayor of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Scott, what'd you make of that?
Well, it's always interesting to hear a politician at that level give the kind of answers that they do. Of course, I have a great amount of respect for Sherrod Brown. When I started out in statewide politics, he was my first boss. So I would support a Clinton-Brown ticket wholeheartedly. So Sherrod does a great job for the state of Ohio, fighting for working families and Ohioans all across the board. And I think that he could take that same passion into the vice presidency campaign if he were so inclined to do so. But we heard it from Sherrod right here in Marion, Ohio, that he is not interested at this point in time. But maybe things will change. Let's get through the process that we're in right now and the primary day today.
Why do you think at this point he gave such a stern answer?
Well, I believe he gave that stern answer because he's passionate about what he does in the United States Senate, representing Ohioans, and the job that he does for Americans all across the country. Yes, he is elected from Ohio, but he crafts policies that impact all Americans if a bill passes and is signed by the President of the United States.
Ohio is always a big deal in a presidential election, but maybe even more this year because our governor is running for president, one of four left on the Republican side, and the Republican convention will be held up in Cleveland in July. Obviously, you're a Democratic mayor here. Do you think Secretary Clinton will pull it out today over Senator Sanders?
Well, from what I've seen and from what I've heard, I do believe she will win Ohio. Of course, everybody's referring back to what happened in Michigan last week. I love to hear the pundits explain the why and the how things like that happen. You know, anybody can be a genius if you get a prediction right every once in a while. Then everybody wants to talk to that that predictor of the future. But I think it's more by chance a lot of times when you watch the national talking head programs.
On the Republican side, obviously you're not Republican and didn't cast a vote that way today, but it's very interesting that the debates are being watched by double what the Democratic debates are being watched by, the presidential primary debates, and that more people are turning out to vote in these Republican primaries all across the United States, and that I was at the polling place today, and they said a lot of people were changing their vote, their party affiliation, to vote a different way. I can only assume that that means they were changing to Republican, which is what seems to be the trend all across the state, brought on by Donald Trump. What has happened this year?
Well, I think our country is enamored with celebrityism, and I think that you're getting a lot of that in the presidential campaign right now. I mean, when you look at some of the shows that are on TV, you don't have to have talent to get your own show on TV anymore. Reality shows are at the top of the ratings all across on nearly every every channel that has one. And I think that just shows where our country is shifting as far as the culture, the social culture of our country. And you're seeing a lot of that in the presidential debates taking place, especially on the Republican side, somewhat on the Democratic side as well. But, you know, you don't hear a lot of real firm policy laid out and planned out in any of these debates. And that's what the debates are really supposed to be about, is putting forth a policy. And that's where the American public should be deciding, I support this policy from this candidate based on what they've said and what I have learned about them. And we don't see that happening right now. So it's an entertainment value more than anything taking place. As far as crossover votings, D's and I's registering as R's, I've talked to a lot of folks, and there's no way to really know for sure, but are folks crossing over to vote for or against somebody? And I think it's a lot of that issue, and maybe there should be some research done into why are more people crossing over to find out if they're exactly voting for a particular candidate in a certain party or if they're voting against a particular candidate in a certain party.
So I think the logical question would be, not a whole lot of time till the election, 8 months, and we're going to vote for a new president. What's to stop that trend before November, to stop Donald Trump, basically?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to talk about Donald Trump today. There are enough people on the national media scene and local medias that want to talk about that individual and what he is or isn't. I think that we should focus more on getting folks out to vote. We should get folks to focus more about what the policies that are being put forth that are going to impact their lives. Let's face it. The next president is going to have policies that are going to impact your life. And I sat in on a forum just this past Sunday listening to Secretary Clinton, Madam Secretary, talking to individuals, you know, working class families, saying, what are your concerns? I want to know what your concerns are. And I'm sure that the same concerns here in Marion by working class families are the same concerns across this country. And those are the issues that we need to focus on to make their lives better. How do you afford college? I've got two daughters in middle school right now. My wife and I talk all the time about how are we going to pay for two children to go to a four-year institution in this state. And my daughters are only 15 months apart. So that means one's going to be a freshman in college and one's going to be a sophomore in college. You know, when I went to college at the University of Toledo in the mid-1980s, it was a state college, and I don't think that we paid more than $5,000 a year for room, board, tuition, and books. There is no way you could do that for a semester in a state institution right now. It is so grossly expensive to even think about doing something like that.
On the tail end of this interview, I do want to come to that, but I want to get one more question is, and we don't even have to mention that candidate's name because maybe that's the essence of this question. Do you think that somebody like him has been blown up because of the media, because we do talk about him, even though I guess our argument would be, how do you not talk about him?
Well, yes, I do think that he has been blown up. There's no doubt about that. Why do you? Let me ask you, why do you talk about him so much? Because of the entertainment value, or because of the policies that he's setting forward to make this country better? As Sherrod said, I believe we're already a great country. We can't shy away from the problems that we have. I don't shy away from the problems that we have in Marion, Ohio. I grab the bull by the horns and I take it head on, and we begin to fix those problems, working collaboratively and cooperatively together to resolve the issues that are impacting Marion lives, and now in this presidential campaign, national lives.
I think the reason, and I would just, I don't want to speak on behalf of the news division of the world, but I will on this point, when a presidential candidate calls the Pope a disgrace or disgraceful, if you go on the next day and don't talk about that, you seem kind of out of the loop.
Well, that may be true from your guys' perspective, but it's easy to do a 30-second soundbite and get on the national news. If I said something so outrageous on your show right now that it warranted all the news agencies of picking it up, we both could be on national news tonight, Scott. And I don't think that's what public policy is about. And we have seen politics in this state fall into the gutter. I have to commend Governor John Kasich for not falling into that gutter. And I think Kasich's probably going to win Ohio. I actually hope he does. He is my governor. Yes, he's from a different political party. But you respect the office You may not like the positions that an individual takes all the time, and I often don't because we come from different sides of the political aisle, but I hope John Kasich wins Ohio.
Senator Brown just said that there is no mathematical way that Governor Kasich can win the presidency, even if he takes Ohio, and he doesn't understand why he's spending taxpayers' money in Ohio on this campaign, and he needs to get back here and govern Ohio.
Well, and there's some truth to that as well, but again, I think we have to recognize that it is a campaign, it is an election year, and those are the kinds of things that are being tossed around. You look at that other candidate, who I'm not going to mention his name, has a TV commercial on right now making that very point, and it's challenging to govern a state the size and magnitude of Ohio and run for the highest office in the land. But that's the way that it's done, and I am not going to, at this point, criticize our governor for doing that. I do think that his first priority is Ohio, and he needs to tend to issues here in Ohio. And I hope that that's what he'll get back to when this whole issue is over, because he'll still have two more years left on his final term as the governor of the state of Ohio.
And to tie a knot in this conversation, I actually think what the candidate Trump has done with the media is he's become accessible. And I think he's more accessible than the other candidates. Now, and I think some media outlets have said that, and I think maybe that's it.
Well, I think every candidate should be accessible. I mean, I went through a mayoral race last year, and I listened to the program where my opponent was on this show right here, right now, and I heard them say that they did not like the media. You can't get into this arena and not like the media. You have to be accessible. I do local media every month in the Marion community because I think it's important to get out and to basically let the citizens of the city of Marion know what their mayor is doing and what is happening at city council.
What is happening at city council?
Well, we had a city council meeting last night. I think the most significant thing that happened last night is we were able to buy some police cruisers. That has been a challenge for us over the past couple years coming out of this economic recession. We are going to go to the SUV type police cruiser with the police package. I wanted to do that when I first got elected, but there were a couple council members that were on board at that time that did not agree with my decision to go with the, I think they're Ford Expeditions is what we're doing, police package. I think that's a much more resourceful and useful vehicle for the Marion City Police Department under the circumstances.
Where is the city of Marion in March of 2016? How are we?
We are doing much better than we were in March of 2015, and as long as we can continue to march forward, we will be a much better community for it. I think, again, we have grabbed the bull by the horns on a couple of important issues in our community. We're starting to address those issues. There are a lot more public forums out there in regards to addiction problems in our community. I talked to Jody DeMohagens much more now than I did 6 months ago or even 6 years ago when I was in office. And that dialogue is good because it's collaboration and cooperation to solve problems in your community. You have to put the political differences aside. You know, when you're a candidate for office, it's politics. But once you've gotten elected to office, it's good, sound public policy, and it's what's best for Marion and what is the greater good of all of our community.
If you talk to somebody in Marion and you say, what is our biggest problem? Honestly, in the last few years, I think it would have switched from jobs to drugs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, that being said, in the grand scheme of things, do you see that as our biggest problem?
No doubt about it. And I get asked that question by pastors who want to help out on whatever issue is the important issue in the community at the time. I'm meeting with a new pastor here, I believe in a week or two, and there's a luncheon at Day Spring in April, I think, to talk about this very issue, the addiction problem. So there's no doubt in my mind that the addiction problem is the social root and evil of many of the problems that we're facing here in the community. It's not a jobs problem. You can drive around town right now and see help wanted signs all over the place. I just met I believe she's a 21-year-old female welder that just got a job at the new Union Tank. 60 folks are working out there. Those are new jobs, folks. I talked to the general manager at the new Union Tank, and I say new because Union Tank's been in the community for a long time, but this is, I'll call it Union Tank 2, down on Barks and Cheney. And the general manager said, wow, the workforce that we have brought in to do this job is just blowing him away, and it's astonishing. He goes, they're putting on about five new people. I believe he said a month. I don't think it was a week, but five new people a month. And he was just absolutely pleased with the workforce that he has here. And that's a specially trained and skilled workforce, welders. They're making about $21, $22 an hour, somewhere in that range. There's a probationary period. They have to pass a couple tests, and then they get an increase in pay. But those are the kinds of stories that we need to be talking about in Marion. The jobs are here. We just need a qualified, trained workforce to do those jobs.
That being said, why isn't that the narrative?
Well, I really think that's what Secretary Clinton walked out of Marion believing. She understands that there are issues with working families and individuals all across this nation, whether it's health care, long-term care, retirement, family leave, whatever the issue is. They exist everywhere. But what she heard from us is she wanted to meet that young welder. A female welder is pretty unusual, and she got to meet that female welder, and she got to talk to Chuck Spielman about Ramtech and the programs that he's providing out there. And she even mentioned it on the CNN town hall meeting Sunday night. She referred to her meeting in Marion. So, we gave her a good story about Marion. And that's what we need to continue to do, is we need to talk about the good things in Marion, because we often talk about the bad things, because that's what leads the evening news. Let's face it. It's unfortunate, but that's the case. So it's my job to go out there and tell people that, did you know that the best padlocks in the world are made right here in Marion, Ohio, at Wilson Bohannon Company since the 1920s? Now, that's not going to make the evening news, but I believe they're the best padlocks in the world. They're not the most popular padlocks. You walk down a high school hallway, you're not going to see Wilson Bohannon locks on those lockers, but they are the best locks in the world. We forget that we built the space crawler here in Marion, Ohio, that sent the astronauts into space, into the moon, or on the moon, I should say, hope not in it. But, we forget about that manufacturing values and that strong Midwest work ethic that we once had, that those of us sitting around this table right now, we grew up with that. And that's what we need to recapture as a Marion community.
The other day, I was in the grocery store, and they were buying Klondikes. And I said, do you know where the Klondike comes from?
I just told somebody that story the other day.
And the person didn't know.
No.
Now,
no.
Is that a disconnect between, is that history, or is that just a disconnect between what Marion, Ohio is and the citizens?
Both. I think it's both. When I was an eighth grade American history teacher out at Elgin Junior High School, we started bringing our kids, usually in the spring, into the Harding Home, the Harding Memorial, the Popcorn Museum, and we started to take a closer look at the history of this community. Now, how much of that really sunk in to their minds in as eighth graders, but they're going to remember as adults that they visited those places. And that's what's important, because that's when you become an adult that you begin to value what you have in your community more than you do as a 13-year-old eighth grader. So it's a little bit of both, that disconnect, and we need to reconnect with our rich manufacturing past, and we need to build on that. Not everybody needs to go off to a four-year institution and get a four-year degree. We already talked about how expensive it is. You can go to Marion Tech, adult programs at Tri-Rivers. You can start out at OSUM. There are apprenticeship programs. For the last 30 or so years, I'm a former educator. All we've done is try to educate everybody to go off to a four-year institution. And that's not the best way to educate everybody. And we're starting to change that philosophy. You're seeing that with Gary Barber and Chuck Spielman and what they're doing now and some of the programs they have. We need to get back to those manufacturing values.
And I heard you say, and I've brought this up before on this program, I think it may have even been on Linda Sims' program, that it's hard to fight a national epidemic like the drug problem on the local level. What can we do, and do you still stand by that?
Yes, I do. You know, it's like trying to fight an international problem. You can't fight ISIS from Marion, Ohio. We can do our part to fight ISIS. We can do our part to fight a national problem. We can do our part to fight a state problem. And that's what we're doing here. We're mobilizing locally to do what we can locally through collaboration and cooperation, whether it's through Jody DeMahogins' programs. You've got Marion Area Counseling. You've got what Arnita Pittman is doing up at the North Main Street Elementary School. You've got more sober living houses in our community than we've had prior to this epidemic becoming such an issue. We don't live in a glass bubble here in Marion, Ohio, even though sometimes we think we do. This is a state problem. It's a national problem. We need partnerships with the state and with the nation to fight this drug epidemic.
Why do you think Secretary Clinton chose to stop in Marion, Ohio?
I'm just happy that she did choose to stop in Marion, Ohio. Let me tell you this. I became mayor in 2008. And prior to that, I look back at the history and I said, how many times has a presidential candidate or president been to Marion? I think we had to go back to Nixon.
68.
Yeah. So what happened between 1968 and 2008? Now, you look from 2008, we had John McCain here.
Yep.
And I know he's from the other side of the political aisle, but I went out to meet him. I'm the mayor of this community. I'm going to meet the presidential candidate if he'll have me, if they'll receive me. And John McCain did, and I appreciate that. We had Bill Clinton here. We had Senator Biden here, who was running for vice president at the time. 4 years later, we had Mitt Romney here. We had Vice President Joe Biden here. And already in this cycle, we've had Secretary Clinton here, who is running for the president of the United States. I think it's great for Marion, and I'm going to promote on both sides of the political aisle. But obviously, we know what side of the political aisle I come from. I'm going to be more involved in the candidates from the Democratic side than the Republican side, but I'm not going to shy away from a Republican candidate who wants to come to Marion.
Now, just because, and honestly, it's very interesting because we've had several conversations over the last year about things, and I asked Senator Brown earlier on if he would be vice president, and he kind of took a Sherman and said, no, I won't. When you won re-election as mayor and were running, I brought up, I said, well, on this show, you had said you would not run again in July of 2014, and you said, well, I don't remember that, but...
Are you going to play the tape?
I'm going to play the tape.
Okay.
I'm going to play the tape. So this for every, I pulled the tape up from July of 2014.
I knew there was a hook why you wanted me on today.
No. This came very late. I was luckily able to find the tape. But this is the mayor on this program from July of 2014. And everybody has the prerogative to change their mind. Let's say that to start things off. But the July of 2014, here we go.
2015, we'll see another election.
Mm-hmm.
Will you run?
Yes.
Already decided.
Already decided. I will have my name on the ballot in 2015. If I am fortunate enough, blessed enough that the voters send me back for a third term as mayor, I have said that I will not serve as long as Jack Kellogg did.
So this would be it?
This would be it for mayor, yes.
Why is that? Why do you say that?
Well, I would like an opportunity to... We hope that the economy is heading in the right direction, and we feel good about the economy right now. There are still some things going on out there that maybe we're not in full-blown recovery. I'd like to govern under a good, thriving economy. I haven't really had that opportunity as mayor. It's been recession and maybe a minor recovery with a slip back. I just would like an opportunity to govern under a good economy.
And that was July of 2014.
Yes, it was. And I said I would not serve as long as Jack Kellogg. We need to keep in mind that Jack Kellogg served how many years?
16.
Exactly.
Yeah. So is it...
The door's open.
Well, but I said, would this be it? And you said yes.
The door's open.
So it's changed a little bit.
I'll tell you what, I thoroughly enjoy my job as mayor, and I understand why Jack Kellogg served four terms. It's an enjoyable job. It's a challenging job. There are so many different new things that you learn all the time, and that's what makes this job so exciting, as other positions may be as well. But this is where my passion is, and you know, given the opportunity to serve my community in a different capacity. I will evaluate that at the time when the time comes.
And everybody has the prerogative to change their mind. That was just to clarify what we had done. Is there anything that has changed your mind specifically in the last 2 years? What is the difference between now and then?
Well, I said I wanted to govern under a thriving economy. Some may question whether we're thriving now, but I can certainly tell you that we are far better off now than we were in 2014 when we taped that program. We're far better off now than we were in 2009, 10, 11, and 12. And for the first time since I've been mayor, we have some revenue to do things. We bought four cruisers last night on city council. I hadn't had the opportunity to do that in my tenure as mayor up until last night. We have had the ability to do other things. We redid the concrete in front of City Hall. It was in deplorable condition. I was embarrassed. There's no doubt about it. And there are other things that we're doing now in City Hall. It's almost a 40-year-old building. The infrastructure in City Hall is broken, and I'm fixing it. But it takes time to fix it. We are fixing the plumbing in City Hall. In the plumbing chases behind the walls, we have buckets catching water from the valves in the bathrooms. Those are getting fixed for the first time since I've been in office. Those are things that most people don't see, but that's a very vital part to a public building is the plumbing.
Do you have something, is there a major thing you would love to accomplish before you do hang it up as mayor of Marion?
Well, I think we need to refer back to this year's State of the City. There are some things in there that I ask council for their support on. Supporting my administration in the fight against heroin addiction and addictions in general. And I believe right now that support's there. We are in the process of accepting community development block grant applications. We don't have financial resources to hand out to rehab centers or sober living centers, but this is a way that some of them can apply for the CDBG monies that we get. And I have to believe in my heart that council is going to have as one of their projects money going towards the addiction problems in our community. I said that I wanted to hire somebody that was in the recovery process in their life through an addiction. I've talked to Heidi Jones, and I think you've probably had Heidi Jones on before. I said, Heidi, send me somebody who is in their recovery that is at the point where they can do a job. We're accepting applications for seasonal park workers. And she goes, I'm not sure I have anybody at that point, but I have people in my program that I want to send you. I said, send them. And we're going to accept some applications of some folks that may have a different background than what you and I have, a felony background, quite possibly. And we're going to evaluate them just like we would anybody else and see if we can slot one of them into the seasonal help in the Parks Department. So those are just a couple of things that we're doing. And I think we're on the right path to a strong recovery. But again, I think we need to get back to the manufacturing values. We need to remember that Marion, Ohio builds more clothing dryers than any place else in the world at Whirlpool, one of our biggest employers. And we need to value those employers in our community as a partner in that collaboration and cooperation to lift Marion up.
If there is somebody listening to this program right now who does not have a job, who really wants one, and they want to make a good living for their family, what would you suggest they do?
Go to the old Job and Family Services, Ohio Means Jobs, and talk to those folks. They are phenomenal. They are statewide known for their programming and the way they do things. They can help you with your resumes. They can help you in that job search to find a job that fits the skills and the interests that you might have. They can help you with job training. They have job training money there as well. Especially they have that money with companies that are training folks to do certain jobs. That's a good thing. I know that Union Tank is getting some state money for their training program that they've instituted out there. So if you have any experience as a welder, go out and let them train you. Take those welding tests that they have set up out there to see if you qualify. And if you don't want to take that step, quite yet, stop by City Hall. We have a bulletin board right across from the elevator that has on it all the jobs that are available in the Marion area right now. Take that list. They're on that bulletin board for you to take. And we're always refreshing that bulletin board and take a look at the jobs and see if there's anything on there that interests you. You also might want to reach out to Marion Tech and Tri-Rivers and OSUM and other programs that might be available to see what kind of job training that you could get for yourself. That's important to make sure that you have the qualifications. The most important qualification is a willingness to work, and then you have to have the soft skills. You have to understand that you have to show up and work on time, leave on time. If lunch is only 30 minutes, that doesn't mean 45, it means 30. And you have to get along with your coworkers, and you have to be drug-free, and that's a challenge for a lot of folks out there as well. So there are things that you can do to improve yourself and improve your standing in society and make a good living for your family.
What's the best part of being mayor, and what's the worst part?
Well, I'll tell you what, I enjoy a lot of the public events that I get to go to, and I'll just pick one here recently. Quality Masonry has done a fine job on the Palace Theater, and we've all watched that plastic tent underneath the scaffolding for how many months now. And one of the workers there said, "Hey, would you like to come in and take a look?" And I was like, "Sure, why not?" And, you know, I went inside the tent, and they're like, "Yeah, we have to keep this up because we have to have it a certain temperature to cure the mortar, I guess, and when they laid the brick and the other things that they put up there." And they took me all the way to the top, and I just thought that was really cool. And they said, "Here's a Sharpie marker. Sign your name on this I-beam." And you don't think of it, but that was a really cool moment for me as mayor. I wouldn't have had that opportunity had I not been in this position. I enjoy going out to the schools. We're going to do a ribbon cutting on April the 3rd for the marquee sign. Those are the neat events that I really, really enjoy and that I will miss someday when I move on and do something else. The most challenging part of my job right now has to be fighting a heroin epidemic. It breaks my heart to see former students' names in the newspaper. And I think, you know, I had you as an eighth grader. You were a good kid. You got good grades. You played sports. Thought you came from a good family. And it's heartbreaking to read some of those former students' names in the newspaper. And that's something you can't help but take personal. And that's heavy on my mind a lot, is that particular issue right there.
Do you think it's kind of a misnomer that you have to come maybe from a broken family or a low-income family to get hit by this heroin epidemic?
I think it is a misnomer. I think heroin it does not discriminate against anybody. You know, I've talked to people that are much older than me, you know, my parents' age or my grandparents' age. They can't understand what possesses a person to do it for the first time. I don't have that answer. I don't have the skills to tell you, they do. So now we need to help them through the problem. I think we need to help the addicts, but I also think that we need the heavy hand of law enforcement and the judicial system of those who peddle these illegal drugs in our country.
I thank you for all the time today, and we've only got a few minutes left, and I just want to ask this because City Councilman Ratliff was in here earlier on, and he did bring it up, and we won't go too in-depth in this, but last night there was a vote on council about the water of Marion, about allocating $5,000 down to $1,000 to test the water in Marion. That passed 9-0, but then when it came to allocating the $1,000, that did not pass. Are you okay with that at this point?
You know, that was an initiative that was brought on by City Council themselves. There was no dialogue with the administration on that prior to it becoming coming into a committee. So I kind of played catch up like the rest of the public, trying to understand how it was going to be administered if it passed, why we were doing it, what were we going to do if we found a high concentration of lead in a particular home. Whose responsibility is it? Is it the homeowners? Is it Aqua's? Is it the state? Is it the feds? or is it the local governments? And those questions could not be answered. So I stayed out of it, to be honest. And I talked to First Ward Councilman Ralph Cumston. I said, look, I ask me any question you want on this issue. I will answer the question. But it's a council meeting. It's their meeting. My administration participates in the legislative process, but it's their meeting. I'm there to for them to ask questions. And really, I don't recall maybe but one or two questions that were asked of the administration through that whole process. And the vote came down the way it came down. If the vote had gone the other way, it had passed, I would have signed it. I would have. There was no reason for me not to sign it. I didn't lobby any council person at all, asking them to vote one way or the other on the particular issue. I don't know how much time we have, but I do want to mention...
Oh, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
And I'm sorry. This is... our Marinary Transit is offering, at no charge, today only, rides to the polling locations.
Really?
We recognize that the polling locations have been diminished. There are four of them where city voters can vote. Now, I'm sorry to say that your county listeners cannot participate in this no-charge ride to the polling locations. It's only for city residents and those on the fringes of the city because our transit system goes just outside the city limits. But Day Spring, we'll take you out to Day Spring if that's your polling location, Veterans Memorial Coliseum, the Knights of Columbus, or the Richland Road Church of Christ. Now, we're only going to be operating from 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., so you got to get that call into the transit early to vote and get home in time. No charge, and I think that's a worthwhile service to give to our voters.
Do we have the number there?
Yes, you can call 740-382-9850. 50, and I will leave that number with you guys so you can do it again. Now, keep in mind, if you want to go to Walmart first to do some shopping, you're going to have to pay for that trip, but we'll take you to your polling location, and you don't have to pay for that trip.
Now, that is a great thing. I think, you see, when I get rambling here, you got to stop me. That's important stuff. We got to get into that. It's always a pleasure when you come
hey,
in.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you so much. We're going to be back in about 10 minutes.
H Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the place.